I often watch other people, and I say this to my wife often. I wish that I was really, really talented with something. We talk about talent nights, and I'll hear somebody sing, and I hear them sing, and it's just like great. I'm like, I wish I could sing like that. There is this one Christian singer who I hear him sing, and I say, Lord, when I get to heaven, I want to sound just like that guy. I say, Lord, please, when we get in those new glorified, I'm sure we'll all be unique, but I'd like to. Yesterday, I was trying to prepare for the baby dedication for Ron and Liz, and so I was reading up stuff, and I was preparing things, and watching some guys, and I saw this guy do a baby dedication. I said, boy, I wish I just had the composure of that person and could talk as eloquently as that guy. And often I'll see someone, a person who's really good or really talented. I honestly, every single time I watch my son play the piano, his fingers go like 1,000 miles a minute. I go, I wish I could play the piano like Silent. And maybe you're like me and you just watch people and you say, I wish that I could do something like that person. And maybe we take the same approach when it comes to personal evangelism. That's Wednesday nights, Matt. Is that what I put into the folder for tonight? I might have done that by accident. So I might have put Wednesday night stuff into the PM folder on accident. If apparently it's not my talent. But if you can't find it under this week, under PM, just go to, did you go to last week? Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, this is what I was looking for. Good. We found it. Thank you, Matt. Thank you. But maybe we think of evangelism like that. Maybe you think, I can't go out of my way to go share the gospel like, and you've watched somebody, and I know I've seen people and been with people who can just walk up to somebody and say, I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ, and they'll just lay out the plan of salvation, and they've got all the right words to say, and it's and you go, man, I wish that I could share the gospel like that. Now, God has blessed and given talents to some people in other areas. I thought of, I was talking to some of the boys. There's a boy at school that I just think the world of, and I love him. He's always coming into my room and talking to me. Right now, each morning, I look at the basketball scores that are going on for one reason. There's a boy in my class who loves basketball. He's a senior in high school, and he comes in and he knows everything about basketball. And I want to be a witness and a testimony to him, so I look at the basketball stuff every morning so I can talk to him about it. That's the, really, I don't care too much about it, but I do that just so I can have a conversation with him. I see Monica's going, yeah, I don't know who that boy is. That what you're thinking? That's okay. You don't have to say a thing, Monica. But I just saw her face like, oh, okay, I think. But there's a boy that that he just knows every little last little stat and detail. So, and as I was thinking about that this week, my brother used to love this basketball player, David Robinson. You know why he loved David Robinson? Because my mom used to get us this magazine that was Christian Athletes. And David Robinson was a Christian basketball player. And I've heard things and talked things. Other basketball players knew that he was a Christian. They knew that after the game, when all the guys were going out to go drinking and when they were away in the stadiums and they were going to go partying and stuff, they knew not to ask David Robinson to go because he loved Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And he was not going to have any of that. And you could just imagine what it must have been like to be one of the best basketball in town. God gives talents to some people like that. He gives some people talents to play the piano. But when it comes to sharing your faith, to giving away your faith, you might feel that that's not your talent, that that's not your greatest thing that God has gifted you with. But God's promised He'll help you. Because you know what? Sometimes we don't have talents. We don't have things that we like to, we are not good at, and we feel that we weren't good at. And what's the best thing to do if you're faced with something that you're not good at? Call an expert, right? Call an expert. Call somebody who is good at it. Ask for their help. And who can you go to for help when it comes to evangelism? The Lord Jesus Christ. You can pray to Him. And He's promised that He will help. So tonight I set aside, the Lord will help you share your faith. Because maybe you feel like you can't do it. You're not good at it. I know I so often think if people had to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior because I'm a cool person or you're a cool person or we're perfect in the way we speak or something, who would want to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior? But only because of what God has done in our lives and the change that He's made and what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and His power to forgive sin. It's all about Christ, right? That's what it's all about. So when we go share our faith, we need to remember that Christ will help us. And that it's a decision between that person and Jesus Christ. And it's something we will be eternally grateful that we did. I don't know. We were talking in Sunday school class this morning about when we get to heaven and what will happen to our memories of people here on earth and those who did not know, who we knew here on earth, who did not accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And that's kind of one that we might go back and forth on and we might be able to discuss and everything. But I do know this, that for all of eternity, we will be so thankful that someone shared the gospel with us and that we believed in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And when someone else gets to heaven and we went out of our way to share the gospel with someone else, that they will be so thankful and appreciative that someone was able and willing and prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So we need to know that before we go, that God will help us. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. God will help you. I promise you that. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 27, it says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty." And God knows exactly what He is doing. And He can provide the answers and the help and in times of need. This morning, I was talking about Naaman and him coming to the Jordan River and he wanted to reject God's man, His method, and His message. But in the end, when he decided to go dip into the Jordan River seven times, he went down in with his skin condition and came up clean. And how we, when we trust Jesus Christ and we accept His man, His message, and His method, We go into the blood of Jesus Christ, the sinner, and we come out clean. I left here this morning, and as I was on the way home, I said, Lord, I don't know that I delivered that the way that I intended to. I don't know. It didn't feel as if it came out, as it came out of my mouth, how excited I was when I sat down and was putting it all together. I was like, I want to share the gospel. I want to put it out there. And I'd love it if somebody would respond. And I left thinking to myself, and as I was on the way home, I was going, I just don't know that came out of my mouth the way I wanted it to. I got home, and I wasn't there an hour, and someone said, I listened on the internet to the message this morning, and it was such a blessing to me. And I sat here, and I go, Lord God, you're so good. Because even when it doesn't come out the way we want it to, the Holy Spirit takes it and uses it. It's not about the way that a person says it. It's not about how neatly put together the person who God is. It's about the message that Jesus Christ has come to save sins. And God, the Holy Spirit, can take that and use that in ways beyond what we can imagine. And then someone else called me this afternoon, and they said to me, they said, Pastor Scott, I have a friend who their child is an atheist. And they came to me asking if there was a way that they could prove that Jesus Christ came to this earth and lived and died and rose again without using things other than the Bible. And I was able to give them some answers and some tools and some resources. And I was just so excited to have that conversation. And I thought to myself, it's God that is in the ministry. It's God who takes and delivers these things and uses it. It's the Holy Spirit. If we're faithful in the work and getting the gospel out there and studying the Word of God and praying, He will use it. So don't worry about the fact that maybe you don't sound as wise as a preacher on TV, or you can't deliver it as eloquently as someone that you have read. God can take your heart. And when you pray and you ask Him for help, He can help you. And He can take the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. We don't know what God's going to use to save someone. And we don't know what God has planned and what the words that we say will accomplish. But God has called us to do the task. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. When we say that God will help you to do the work, He has called us to be fishers of men and to be about the business of the kingdom, being a fisher of men. I've got to pick on my son a little bit tonight. I've got my son in a couple of classes every single day. And not a class goes by, and I hope that he'll forgive me for talking about this, but not a day goes by in class where he doesn't say, I'd rather be fishing. Not a day goes by. Am I right, Silas? And I take Silas fishing. Whether it be I've taken him fishing up at Don's and John's and to rivers and stuff. I could take him fishing every day of the week and he'd be happy. I'm amazed at this kid's talent when it comes to fishing. He'll sit there and he'll cast. And when I was a kid, I'd go fishing and I'd sit there all day. All day. And I'd catch like one fish. He'll cast it 10 times and he'll catch 10 fish. I don't know how he does it. But I just know we've been taking him fishing since he went up to Don's one night at one of our cookouts, and he caught a fish, and he was hooked. Yeah, hooked. Get it? But anyway, and he just fishing. This week he had Mom send a picture to my phone of him catching a fish, because fishing, that's what he loves to do. God's called us to fish. And I wonder, when we're sharing the gospel, we love Jesus Christ. We claim, we say, we'd rather have Jesus than anything in this world. That's what we say. We are excited about heaven. We love Jesus Christ. But are we as excited about being a fisher of men as Silas is about catching a bass? I mean, honestly, sometimes when you're sitting there at work, do you say to the guys at work, I'd rather be out serving the Lord. I'd rather be on a missions trip. Or do you, as you're walking from here to there, sing praises to your Heavenly Father? Are you excited about sharing the gospel? Are you excited about fishing? Is that something, being a fisher of men? And you might feel like me, like if you go out there, like you could just be sitting there with, all day with your pole, and you might not catch anything. But when it's God who's at work, and it's God who's giving the increase, it's very important that we understand that God will help us fish. I love going fishing with Silas. I just have to watch, and I get the thrill of catching a fish every other minute. And I'm sure if he let me, he'd let me reel one in once in a while. I'll catch a lot more fish that way than if I got a worm on the end of a hook. But maybe that's what we need to do. We need to grab a partner and go fishing with them. We need to know that it's the Spirit of God who helps us in the ministry of evangelizing. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 19. It says in Matthew 10:19, but when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. God, the Spirit of God, will help you. He'll give you the words to speak. He'll let you know what you're supposed to say. So maybe if your excuse is, I won't know the words to say to someone if I share the gospel with them. Just let God speak through you. Let him give you the words to speak. Not only will he allow you, he'll help you in training you how to fish. Not only will he give you the Spirit of God to help you to put words into your mouth to give you the things that you could say, he will give you power in the act of evangelism. He'll give you power in that act. Turn over your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I think about that. When you go sharing the gospel, and when you tell someone else about Jesus Christ, His Spirit is going to give you the words to speak, and he'll allow you to speak in power and with authority. Isn't that something that's encouraging? Because maybe you don't feel like you have a lot of power. Maybe you don't feel like you speak with authority. But when it comes to speaking about God and about your Heavenly Father, God will bless you, and he'll give you the words to speak and let you speak them with authority. I often have heard very timid people. Very timid people. Who don't have much to say, but who love Jesus Christ. That when they start speaking about God, their Heavenly Father, all of a sudden something comes over them and they are excited, and you could see the power of God coming out of their life. And a new and exciting, fresh breath coming out of their mouth, because they are speaking about that which they love and speaking for whom they love. One of the things that God says over and over again, that if we go witnessing, we endeavor to share the gospel. He's called us to be fishermen. He will equip us to be fishermen. He's given us the Spirit of God to speak through us. He's given us power, and He's promised that He will be with us. Let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In Matthew chapter 28, our Savior is leaving the world. And in leaving this world, His command was, while I'm gone, until I come back, you are to go about making disciples, sharing the gospel, spreading the kingdom all over the world. And in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18, it says, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. God said here, I promise, this is my authoritative speaking. I rose from the dead, I'm setting up a kingdom, and this is your job to do. Go out and share the gospel. Share it with people you come in contact with. And when you do, know that I am going to be with you. I think if we think about that, when we go to share the gospel with someone else and we think, Jesus is right there beside me, He's helping, that kind of empowers you, doesn't it? You know, me and my dad often tackle projects together. I'll say, Dad, this is what I've got going on, or he'll say, this is what I've got going on, and we'll tackle the projects together. And sometimes when we're working on a project alone, we have questions, we run into roadblocks and stuff. But when your dad's there, right next to you, that really kind of helps you. I've got just about every day. I have break time at school at 10 o'clock, and I call my wife. And it doesn't take about 2 minutes into my conversation before somebody with my wife that somebody comes in and says, Mr. Wilson, can you help me with my math? I say, okay. So I get off the phone with Michelle, and they sit down with their homework. And I'll look at it, and I'll go, this kid knows exactly how to do this. They're just stumped. And so I look at them. I look at the problem, and I'll say, all right, tell me what's going on here. And they begin to explain to me where the problem is. And they take their time, and one step at a time, they begin to talk about it. And when they begin to talk about it, and I say, okay, write that down. Okay, draw that out on the diagram. I don't do anything. It's just that I'm there. And I'm just saying, write it down. And often, half the time, when a kid comes to me for help in math, I don't do a thing to get them to the right answer other than let them talk it out. So they'll come in and they'll be like, I'm so stupid. I can't do this. I don't get this. I hate these math diagrams and these word problems. Maybe you were the same way in school. And sometimes it's just how it's presented. And I'll just say, what's the first thing you need to do? And then as they patiently, and when they leave, I say, I didn't do a thing. You did it all. All I was doing was sitting here. Now go try and do it your own. Do it yourself. Maybe if we remembered that Jesus Christ was right there with us, we say, I can't evangelize somebody. I can't tell them the gospel. The words will come out and I'll be tripping over my words. Maybe if we remembered that Jesus Christ is right there with us, he promised, Matthew chapter 28, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He's right there to help us. He's given the Spirit of God to speak through us. He's promised his power. Well, we can do it then, can't we? Sometimes we just need the teacher sitting right next to us. He also gives us boldness. Let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 19 it says, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. God can help us. He can help us to speak boldly for the gospel. He will also give us an open door and help us to be able to share our faith. Give us opportunity. Let's turn in our Bibles to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 3. If we are waiting for a door to open so that we could share the gospel, maybe we need to be effectively and fervently praying that God will open the door. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may manifest as I ought to speak. Now we know that Paul was very bold in sharing the gospel, and that he relied on the power of God, and he wasn't afraid to stop and speak to anybody about Jesus Christ. But he prayed that God would open doors. And we need to be praying every day that God would give us the opportunity. But I think if we're going to pray that God will open doors, we need to make sure that we are stepping through those doors. Because think about it. If you're praying, God, open a door for me that I'll share the gospel, and he opens the door and we just stand there and go, and we later we're going, oh, I wish I'd said something. Then we pray. I think when we get to heaven, we'll say, God, why didn't you? And God will say, I opened a door here and here and here and here. I gave you opportunity. Why didn't you step through and say something? I was with you. I would have given you the words to speak. We need to speak. Because God has promised so many times in the Word of God that he will help us. So if you're scared, if you're frightened about sharing the Word of God, know that God has prepared to help you share the gospel. Be prepared. Be ready. God will give you opportunities. He will open doors. He can give you boldness. He can give you the words to speak. So be ready, because maybe tomorrow a door will open. He'll be standing right there next to you. You just have to do it. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, it says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Make sure that you are ready and prepared for the moment. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. Be daily in it. And finally, if you see the door open and you are given opportunity and you want God to speak the words through you and you want his power and you want his blessing in sharing the gospel, and it comes time, the last thing that you should do before you share the gospel and you're ready and you're prepared, just say a quick prayer and say, God, I'm ready to share the gospel. I'm ready. God, take over. Let the words that are coming out of my mouth right now be your words. I've read your word. I've been going to church. I'm excited. I'm ready. Use me, God. Just let the Spirit take control in that moment and let God do the work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Oh boy, if we could share the gospel with somebody, and at the end of it, be able to say exactly what the Apostle Paul came and said. It wasn't about me. You know, it wasn't about my words. I my tongue gets tied. My words get twisted. My thoughts get jumbled. But this is the thing that I know. Jesus Christ and him crucified changed my life. And I'd like to share that with you. And just let God begin to work and stir in their hearts. Let him do it. Let him take control. Do your best. Share your faith from your heart with boldness. Let God help you through the whole process. He will. Tonight we've looked at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 things that God has promised that he'll help you with as you go about evangelism. Sometimes it's easier to do a math problem with a teacher sitting over your shoulder. Sometimes it's easier to do a project when dad's right there with you. Sometimes it's easier to fix a computer when a kid's showing you how. And definitely when it comes to evangelism, when the Savior's next to you, that's the right way to do it. It's not about you. It's about him. Let's be busy being fishers of men. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being our God. Thank you for saving us. I thank you that someone was so bold to share their faith with me. Help me to be bold in sharing faith with others. I pray for, Lord, I've asked these guys to be praying for someone that they could share the gospel with, that they could share their faith with. Lord, I pray for myself, my family, and my church brothers and sisters in Christ, that this week you will open doors. And I pray that when we see those open doors, that we will step through them in the power of God, with boldness, with the Savior by our side, to speak the truth, the words of life that can change a life for all of eternity. Lord, we need you. Help us be effective in sharing your truth. Thank you for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.